Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And it is, in fact, today, the 100th day of the Joe Biden administration. He marked the occasion last night by a very long, generally controversially received major speech. I think that most people who are not committed one way or the other will think, oh yeah, President, very nice, he talked about a lot of stuff. But what's important to get here is that what the speech called for generally is stuff that is not popular with Americans. Do most Americans really want higher taxes? We'll talk about that with Grover Norquist. Do most Americans really want more debt? And do most Americans really want more spending, this beyond the orgy of spending? And it was an orgy that began even under the Trump administration with some of those rescue packages. It's gigantic. The Biden address to a joint session of Congress snared 11.6 million viewers in early results. It's a lot better ratings than the Oscars, but then again, the Oscars were only on one network, on ABC. They had fewer than 10 million viewers for the Oscars. And by the way, the Oscars were not terribly exciting, and there were, however, a couple of surprises. Joe Biden's speech was not terribly exciting, and there really weren't any surprises. This was basic Democratic Party dogma. As I mentioned, you're talking about more spending, higher taxes, more debt. And, or are you talking about some kind of messianic era? There was actually a very good line by former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie about his impression of the speech. And Chris Christie has resumed his role as the kind of Democrat that Joe Biden really needs to work with if he's going to work with any Republicans at all. And here is what he had to say on ABC TV. This is clip 10.
The University of Pennsylvania, certainly not a bastion of conservatism, has looked at the Biden jobs plan and said it will create no new net jobs and will cause a lower GDP. But here's my overarching thought about it, David. The words of this speech sounded like what you would hear from a 15-year-old if you gave him a credit card with no credit limit on it, except the words came out of the mouth of an adult who should know better.
That's Governor Christie on ABC. That adult leaves the speech with a very, very ambitious legislative agenda in the air. And it is a legislative agenda that all indications are he will not be able to enact because he will not have the support of moderate Democratic senators, including people like Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. The whole idea of, okay, now we're going to start free pre-K starting at 3 years old. Kids are not going to start school anymore, public school at age five. They're going to start public school at age three or age four. I think that's a popular idea. But then how do you do it? And how do you pay for it? And Joe Biden spoke about an even more popular idea. It's an idea I've praised before, which is arranging that everybody has, if he graduates or she graduates from high school and they want to go on for community college for the next 2 years, then that should be free for everybody. But there are problems about how do you do that? How do you make that work? Because right now we have 50 different states and they treat the situation very differently. I just found out that in California, community college tuition is very low because the state subsidizes community colleges very heavily. In other states, in Illinois and elsewhere, however, it's much higher. It's higher here in Washington. because the government does not pump as much money into a community college. So what do? Do you punish those states that have been charging low tuition all along by saying you're only going to pay the tuition that kids are paying today? Or do you wipe everything out and say, well, no, this is all going to be a federal entitlement? It is not an easy thing to work out. It is not an easy thing to negotiate, particularly when you're dealing with 50 different state governors and you're dealing with two houses of Congress and a Congress that is very, very narrowly divided. There is one thing on which no one should be divided about the events of last night. If this day is remembered yesterday, it's not going to be remembered for Joe Biden's speech. It's going to be remembered for Tim Scott's speech. Because every once in a while in American history, and I really mean this, you can have one speech that really changes things. For instance, I mean, in 1896, the Democratic Convention, there was a very young, 36-year-old, actually at that point he was a former congressman from Nebraska, named William Jennings Bryan, who got up and he gave a keynote speech, and it was so electrifying that even though he had never been a candidate, no one had ever heard of him, they nominated him for president. Boom, right there. That was the Cross of Gold speech. And it was famous, and it changed it all. And then back in 2004, when John Kerry was being nominated for president in Philadelphia by the Democrats, there was a keynote speaker named Barack Obama, who nobody pretty much had ever heard of. He was a state senator from Illinois. He was running for president. And he got up and he gave the keynote speech, and it was electrifying. As we're not going to be red states and blue states. We are the United States of America. Well, people loved it. And they loved the messenger. They loved the message. And sure enough, 4 years after that, he was nominated for president. Now, Tim Scott last night gave that kind of performance. This is a very, very difficult role. It is a role that you go into with lots of embarrassment. That there are lots and lots of embarrassing instances. Everybody remembers Marco Rubio's big gulp when he had to take a cup of water to refresh his throat, which happens, by the way. I have been known to reach for this little mug I'm reaching for right now that has some nice cold water in it that I can drink when I need to, and you won't see me, but everybody saw Marco Rubio. Bobby Jindal, at the beginning of the Obama administration, had given one of those response speeches. It's a thankless task, and usually it embarrasses people more than anything else. Nikki Haley did okay with it. But I don't remember any response speech to the President of the United States. And this is not a reflection of Biden's speech being so terrible. It wasn't. It was Biden. But Tim Scott's speech was electrifying. And honestly, it seems to me if somebody knows a way in which Tim Scott's speech could have been even better than it was, then call me and tell me, 1-800-955-1776, because I cannot think of how it could have been improved. It was exactly the kind of thing that can change the trajectory of the conversation, can give new energy and hope and direction and dynamism to the Republicans, and it accomplished five big, big things. One of those things, it seems to me, is putting Tim Scott together with Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida at the very front of the pack for a presidential nomination in 2024. And everybody is reporting that Tim Scott is wanting to make that race, to run for president in 2024, especially since there are creepy people, awful people, disgusting people on the left who are attacking him as Uncle Tim, which is a reference, of course, to Uncle Tom, which is a way that black radicals characterize Martin Luther King Jr., by the way. And so what is Tim Scott's response to that? And what is it that he did last night in his speech that was so terrific? We'll play you excerpts and highlights and much more coming up on the MedVed Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my new product, My Slippers. They took me over 2 years to develop because I didn't want just an ordinary slipper. My slippers are meant to be worn all day long, no matter what you're doing, whether you're inside or outside. My slippers come with an exclusive three-tier cushioning system that you won't find in any other slipper. It combines two layers of foam, including my proprietary My Pillow Foam, and a patented impact gel made from U.S. soybeans. My three-tier cushioning system is going to help relieve pressure points, provide that micro support you need for all-day comfort, and help prevent fatigue. Not only that, my slippers are made with high-quality leather and a premium indoor-outdoor sole that make them extremely durable. I personally guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own.
Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVET. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVET for these great radio specials. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book. Free! Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Michael Medved show, talking about the real star and the real center of bitter controversy after the speeches, plural, last night. Generally, a president of the United States gives a State of the Union address. It's a big dramatic event. President Trump got better at this as his presidency went on. And one of the things that he did very well at his last State of the Union address, and this was not officially a State of the Union address because that's only supposed to come next January, and that's in the Constitution. But this is an address to a joint session, and every recent president has done it. And usually in these occasions, too, you have the President of the United States uses storytelling. He uses guests. President Reagan was a model of this. He was one of the people who originated the practice. You bring in special guests that you want to honor, that are honoring some point or some program or some principle of American life that you want to promote and with which you want to associate your administration. And you point to them in the audience, and then everybody stands up and applauds. And those people are usually sitting up in a box with the First Lady of the land, or if we ever do have a female president, it would be the First Gentleman of the land, I guess. And then everybody applauds. Okay, Jill Biden was sitting kind of all by herself. There was nobody in the box with her, except I think for part of the time, the man they call the Second Gentleman, and it's not Jill Biden's Second Gentleman, it is Doug Emhoff, who is the husband of Vice President Kamala Harris. And yes, that was a striking aspect of the speech, much commented on by everybody. This was the first time ever that with the president delivering speech, both of the people right behind him were female. There was, of course, Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She's been there before, and for the first time, and honored by President Biden for that, was the Vice President Kamala Harris. Okay, all of that going on, very expected. But what wasn't expected was how in a much shorter address, with no audience, just speaking directly into a camera in front of a South Carolina flag, was the senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott, who was just about as outstanding as he could be. And he started, as he should, by telling Americans something about his personal story. This is clip two.
When I was a kid, my parents divorced. My mother, my brother, and I moved in with my grandparents. Three of us, sharing one bedroom. I was disillusioned and angry, and I nearly failed out of school. But I was blessed. First, with a praying mama. And let me say this to the single mothers out there who are working their tails off, working hard, trying to make the ends meet, wondering if it's worth it. You can bet it is. God bless your amazing effort on part of your kids.
Okay. What he didn't mention there, those two brothers that he shared that one bedroom with, they both are career military. One is a sergeant major in the U.S. Army. The other is a colonel in the United States Air Force. The thing about Tim Scott coming from a struggling single mom, coming from a difficult working class background, mobilizing the power of small business, and then becoming first a congressman, then a United States senator. It's a great story, and it's a great American story. And if he is the nominee for president in 2024, and I know it's controversial to even talk about this at this point, but it is certainly conceivable. Nobody watching that speech last night could think that it is an unconscionable leap to think that that Tim Scott goes from this to a presidential candidacy and a presidential nomination. Assuming he wins the nomination and assuming, as I do, that Joe Biden will retire at the age of 82, which is where he would be in 2024, that would make something that is inconceivable and powerful. I talked about some of the achievements of Tim Scott, and my list of those achievements, by the way, is going to go out in our newsletter, which you can sign up for free. Go to our michaelmedved.com, sign up for the free newsletter. One of his achievements would be that if he is the nominee of the Republican Party and he runs against Kamala Harris, we're going to have the first ever, something almost inconceivable, where both major parties nominate black candidates. Wouldn't that be something? and an answer for those who say we are incurably, irredeemably, horribly, ridiculously racist. Just to move a little bit ahead on Tim Scott's speech, because this is the most controversial thing and the most important thing that he said, which is a powerful message. His critics say, well, this is a message of an Uncle Tom. I say it's the message of an American statesman and hero. This is Tim Scott, clip 5.
Today, kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. From colleges to corporations to our culture, people are making money and gaining power by pretending we haven't made any progress at all. By doubling down on the divisions we've worked so hard to heal. You know this stuff is wrong. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination. And it's wrong to try to use our painful past to dishonestly shut down debates in the present.
Okay. That is about as important a message as you could have right now. And he is a great messenger, truly great messenger. He went on to talk about, well, if we have, let's go to clip 7, where he talks about Democrats and their desire to end the filibuster. Listen.
The same filibuster that President Obama and President Biden praised when they were senators, the same filibuster that the Democrats used to kill my police reform bill last year, has not suddenly become a racist relic just because the shoe is now on the other foot. Race is not a political weapon to settle every issue the way one side wants. It's far too important. This should be a joyful springtime for our nation. This administration inherited a tide that had already turned. The coronavirus is on the run. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed and the Trump administration, our country is flooded with safe and effective vaccines. Thanks to our bipartisan work last year, job openings are rebounding. So why do we feel so divided? Anxious.
Okay.
A nation with so much cause for hope should not feel so heavy laden.
Okay, he goes on with that, and you'll notice how deftly he acknowledged and thanked President Trump without in any way committing to a return to Trumpism. We'll talk with Professor Wilfred Riley, frequent guest of this show, coming right up.
Other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As President Joe Biden is celebrating his 100th day in office by making his first stop on the Get America Back on Track tour in Georgia, Republican Senator from Florida Rick Scott was not happy with what he heard last night in the president's first address to Congress.
Joe Biden gives a nice talk about unity, but he doesn't mean it. Look, he's just kowtowing to the radical left. He didn't talk about how he's going to secure the border, open the schools, make sure our businesses are doing well. He didn't talk about why he wants to pack the Supreme Court or why, D.C. statehood.
Parts of the country are assessing the damage after severe flooding and tornadoes left a trail of destruction on Wednesday. Parts of Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, and Texas saw torrential downpours that led to flooding. Twisters also causing damage in Oklahoma, but luckily there were no reports of injuries. USA Radio News.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Show. Always a joy to welcome back to the show one of my favorite guests, Professor Wilfred Riley, who's a professor of political science at Kentucky State University. He's the author of best-selling books like Hate Crime, Hoax, and Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And we haven't had the chance to talk about this off the air, privately at all, Wilfred, but were you impressed as I was by Senator Tim Scott's presentation last night for the Republican Party?
Yeah, I thought it was a good speech. Scott is an excellent speaker overall. He actually was the graduation speaker at Kentucky State a couple of years ago. I thought it was solid. I thought more important than the delivery of the speech, though, or the phrases chosen, was just sort of the obvious nature of the point, which is that we sometimes fight each other as brothers do, and there's that residual 8 or 9% of racists in the country. But the USA is a formally non-racist country. I mean, pro-minority affirmative action has been the law of the land since 1967. And this is sometimes, and this isn't me speaking as center-right political pundit, this is just a fact. The Civil Rights Act was 1964. So it seems that sometimes we're so caught up in this discussion of cultural appropriation and kind of these minutiae of the modern era that we forget what the senator pointed out.
Okay, the senator was attacked on Twitter, and I've commented about this at my own Twitter account, as a matter of fact. And it seems to me outrageous. People were saying basically he is a, quote, Uncle Tom, calling him Uncle Tim. That was a trending hashtag on Twitter. this morning, Senator Scott has been indignant about that. He said this is pure racism. It's attacking him on the basis of the color of his skin. What say you, Professor Riley?
Yeah, I think that's extraordinarily obvious. And I think this sort of thing has become this sort of open double standard with, for example, upper middle class blacks or black conservatives or whites and Asians being acceptable targets for, you know, racial animus, but African Americans in general never filling that role is something that's starting to irritate a lot of people. I think most people would be fine with racial critique in general being almost banned, being socially banned. But that's not what we see. Whenever Tim Scott or Candace Owens or Larry Elder, very serious people, Jason Riley, gives a major speech, you see these
or Wilfred
comments.
Riley.
Yeah, well, I actually get less of the Uncle Tom stuff because I think I have a cool sort of hip-hop arrogant side. But, I mean, I definitely hear some of the same things, don't you love yourself and so on. And, I mean, this is definitely a reality. And this goes beyond these sort of debates on Twitter. I mean, so we say, for example, you know, racial discrimination is banned, and then we have such blatant racial discrimination against Asian Americans in particular versus whites or blacks that they're currently suing Harvard, or at least they were until recently. So, I mean, I absolutely think if this is something that we're going to say is forbidden as a society, we need to say it's forbidden, not it's forbidden and here are the exceptions.
Okay, in terms of forbidden and here are the exceptions, there are a lot of people, one of them, who were just very impressed with the way that Tim Scott presented an affable, agreeable, positive, hopeful view of what Republicans are. It reminded me of President Reagan's famous line, which is, I'm a conservative, but I'm not angry about it. And do you think that tone could be more helpful for Republicans going forward than the tone of a constant 100% all the time angry righteous indignation?
Yes, of course it could. I think that my great nightmare about U.S. politics in the next 15 years would be, excuse the language, but seeing the two parties try to out-bitch and complain one another, sort of each one represents a more aggrieved group of people, where the Democrats will say, you know, we still have not repaired the wounds of 100 years of slavery, and then the Republicans come back with a pitch to poor whites or to higher income immigrants or something like that. I mean, the reality is that it's not extraordinarily difficult to succeed in the modern United States. People come here all the time from Nigeria, Vietnam, so on, and outperform both white and black Americans. So presenting conservative principles in sort of a happy, confident, we can discuss healthcare, but we think capitalism works kind of way, I think is the way forward. And that's how you get a Reagan, a Truman, the significant politicians on either side, really, I think, the majority of the time. Even Bill Clinton had this.
Right. Usually we don't honor a politician by saying, oh, he was an angry warrior. It's a happy warrior. That's the idea, according to Wordsworth's poem. In terms of the future for Tim Scott, I commented, and I've gotten a lot of blowback on it, that I think he emerges now as one of the very serious considerations for 2024 for a presidential nomination. Mm-hmm. What do you think about a race between Kamala Harris and Tim Scott?
I think that would be and first of all, I'm a black man, but I'm an American first. I don't really care what race the guy raising my taxes is at some level. But I do think that in terms of all of this constant complaint about residual racism remains, what about the hiring market, so on, I think that it would be a wonderful moment to enable those of us in kind of that working middle to say, look, both candidates for the presidency are black. Nothing's perfect, but that is something of enormous import. I think he's well enough qualified. I'd like to see it. I will say the stereotype as the Cuban population acclimates in the USA, as the black middle class grows, Asians, the stereotype of the GOP is more than maybe 80% Caucasian isn't really accurate. I mean, leading candidates include Marco Rubio, you know, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley. There's speculation Tulsi Gabbard might switch parties. So we're not talking about a bunch of guys in, you know, gray flannel suits, much less Klan robes, all Caucasian. You're talking about a very diverse group of top candidates.
Well, again, and people do tend to ignore that. Last time, in the last election, Joe Biden won the election because he did much better among white people than Hillary Clinton. Yeah. But Trump did much better with black people a little bit, and much better with Latino people than he did in 2016. I appreciate your confidence about the future of the Republican Party. In terms of the spending levels, do you think that Joe Biden may be a little bit unrealistic?
Well, I think he may be a little bit wrong. The horrible probability is that given the number of big government Republicans and given, I mean, the power of Harris in the Senate right now, he's probably not unrealistic. Biden has been asked before which former presidents he admires, and he's often said Roosevelt, and I don't think he meant Teddy. So, I mean, we've already seen, correct me if I'm wrong, but something like $6 trillion in coronavirus bailout spending. I think we're going to see one more tranche. Biden just proposed a $4 trillion infrastructure plan with infrastructure designed to include things like farming and broadband. I mean, you could argue a lot of that.
Preschool?
Preschool, daycare. I mean, so that's $10 trillion. That, just adding up the three plans I just mentioned, that's $10 trillion. That's a lot of money, and that is Rooseveltian level spending. The question really, and I'm very sympathetic to programs for the poor, but do we need it?
Well, look, that is a question that I hope that Americans will ask. There was one, this is Professor Wilfred Riley, he's Associate Professor of Political Science at Kentucky State University, a prodigious and very entertaining and informative Twitter account that is worth following. We will link to it at our website. He is also the author of the best-selling books Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax. Wilfred, have a wonderful weekend coming up. And when we come back, Rich Lowry over at the Wall Street, at the National Review, has pointed to one gigantic lie. Not just mistake, but a lie that underlined the entire Biden address. So what was that lie? What was it about? And by the way, I think that the National Review is right about this. We will get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Your outlet for outrage.
Outrageous.
The Michael MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVet Show.
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Vrovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Michael Medved show, I mentioned that in Joe Biden's speech, where he was fairly energetic and at times moving and emotional, but the entire speech began with a fib, with a fairy tale, with a lie. And it's actually James Freeman who points that out in the Wall Street Journal. And it's under the headline, Facts Check Biden. Not fact checks, but facts check, as in chess, as in defeat, as in put in danger. Actually, that's what a check is. It's checkmate. Mate, which is actually related to the Hebrew word for death, is where you get checkmate. But a check is putting a ruling figure in danger, and Biden's in danger on this because it's just so demonstrably false. James Freeman writes, the economic fairy tale told by the president on Wednesday night was debunked by his own government's data release on Thursday morning. That would be this morning. The Biden fairy tale is that the U.S. was in economic crisis when he took over. But then, as now, government data keeps exposing this Biden distortion. Today, the Commerce Department reports that during the first quarter, when the Biden administration began, the U.S. economy was already soaring. Real gross domestic product, GDP, increased at an annual rate of 6.4% in the first quarter of 2021. Didn't all of a sudden turn around when Joe Biden took the oath of office. It had already turned around. And I know Democrats would say it turned around because of expectations that Biden was taking over. But the truth of the matter is real gross domestic product increased at an annual rate of 6.4% in the first quarter of 2021, according to advanced estimate released by the Commerce Bureau's economic analysis. That follows growth rate of more than 4% in the fourth quarter of last year and a rip-roaring 33% in the third quarter of last year. The recovery had already begun. And what Biden said instead was, I stand here tonight, one day shy of the 100th day of my administration, 100 days since I took the oath of office, and lifted my hand off our family Bible, and inherited a nation we all did that was in crisis. The worst pandemic in a century. Okay, well, that's true. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. That's ridiculous. It is not true. It says, a variant of this falsehood was road-tested by Bernie Sanders in December when he claimed, the working class of this country today faces more economic desperation than any time since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Bill Clinton did the same thing when he was running for president in 1992. Said, it's the worst economy since the Great Depression. It wasn't. And again, they get away with this. And it's a way of indicating that magically somehow when you take office, when you have a D after your name, before there's even been anything passed or anything to kick in or any meaningful executive order, before any of that, wow, look at the turnaround. The turnaround began under the previous president. And James Freeman points out unemployment in the 1930s soared to roughly 25%. Actually, most people think at the peak of the Depression, which was during Roosevelt's first year, it reached 35%. 35% unemployed. One out of three people. And that was at a time when there was only one wage earner per family, by and large. So it was even more serious. Since October of 2020, the unemployment rate has been steadily below 7%. By the time Mr. Biden was taking office in January, it had fallen to 6.3%. Okay, this is extraordinarily important because when Biden began his speech, and this was actually effective, the Democrats in the crowd seemed to love it and applauded lustily. He said, 100 days ago, America's house was on fire. We had to act. Now, look, what made this feel believable was the extraordinary situation with the attack on the Capitol building and that entire disaster and the contesting of the election. This is not to say that the Trump administration ever represented any kind of golden age, but to suggest that before Biden took office on January 20th, that we were in free fall or in disaster is simply not true. And we all have lived experience of that. I mean, most Americans either have a job or some investments, meaning some 401ks, retirement accounts, something. And you have a general sense of how things are going in the economy. And yes, things have certainly gotten better. But the momentum had already begun, and it is wrong and unnecessary and frankly dangerous for him, for President Biden to continually keep harping back onto, well, it was the worst time ever before I came in and made things so much vastly redeemed. This is what James Freeman writes. He says, 100 days ago, the raging fire was the aggressive effort by businesses to find workers for all the open positions available for people willing to work. Thanks to data releases by the Biden administration, we now know that the job market was just as robust as it seemed when he was taking office. In March, the Labor Department reported, quote, the number of job openings changed little at 6.9 million on the last business day of January, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported today. In other words, the unemployment rate had already gone down and had gone down to levels that are not in any way comparable to the Great Depression. Look, I think this is an important point, just as the response to the Uncle Tim slur is an important point. They call Senator Tim Scott Uncle Tim because he dares to say that the United States is not a racist nation. Look, if he runs his campaign on that basis, all those who believe that the United States is not today a racist nation, join with me. It's going to be a big majority. And one of the reasons that I am so optimistic that if it does come down to a race between two formidable black candidates, Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Tim Scott has every advantage. You know why? Because his own experience, he's a son of the South. He is a born-again Christian. He spoke about that last night. He has two brothers who are career military, a struggling single mom, somebody whose redemptive life's course involves small business. This is the historic black experience. And am I saying that if Tim Scott is the Republican nominee, that he will win a majority of the black vote? No, but you don't need to. If any Republican can get 20% or 25% of the black vote across the country, 1 out of 4, he's a gigantic winner. And when you compare Tim Scott, son of South Carolina, to Kamala Harris, daughter of Berkeley, California, son of a struggling church-going single mom, daughter of two immigrant academics, both with PhDs, there is a much more compelling story that Tim Scott can tell and told last night. And I hope we'll continue to tell. Let us hope that for the United States of America, it's not a story of constantly raising taxes and basically pretending that we can actually get all the new tax revenue we need or the Democrats would need if they go along with these very big, bold, expensive plans. We can get all of that just by taking money away from the rich. There's a revelation today that the White House admitted about the Biden tax plan. You know how he's saying, if you earn less than $400,000, it's not going to cost you a penny more. We're going to leave you alone. Well, it turns out that is not exactly the case. We will talk about all the taxation issues and just how much would Joe Biden actually be able to raise your taxes with Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. And we'll talk further about the political consequences, the public opinion consequences, even the cultural consequences of the battles ahead. All in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.